This is our number two.
It's time for the fastest 15 minutes of the news. This is Dory's Fastest 15.
Oh, it's a world of news in a tidy little 15-minute package just for you. Welcome to our Fastest 15. So, I got to tell you something. I'm not a big fan of King County Executive Dow Constantine. I, in fact, have been quite a critic. I don't like that he was spending hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year to have the King County Sheriffs provide detectives to be his personal Uber service so he could get dropped off at bars for evening meetings with staffers. I never liked that about him. I don't like an awful lot of the things that he has done to increase crime throughout the county. But when he does something that is absolutely wonderful, I'm going to spotlight it. And today I am here to tell you that Dow Constantine is a hero. So let me tell you the story. He told the story himself on Twitter. And I know it's not like heroes to tell wondrous stories about themselves, because heroes usually are kind of the strong, silent type. But this was so magnificent, so giving, that Dow couldn't just be strong and silent. He let us know what a hero Dow Constantine is. So let me tell you the story as he related it on Twitter. By the way, and most great heroism in America these days does play out on Twitter. So as Dow said, I was in the Chinatown International District with my family this morning, this last weekend, and saw a lot of garbage and litter around the bus stop at the corner of 12th and Jackson. Oh, man. What did he do? He and his family. So they saw a bunch of litter on a seat. I didn't know there was any litter anywhere in King County. But Dow and his family, they spotted the rare pieces of litter. And he even sent a picture of all the litter. And it is piled high. I don't know how this happened in Dow Constantine's King County, but there's litter all over the sidewalk and around a bus stop and out into the street, and it looked like Calcutta. Actually, Calcutta, when they have a horrible street that has even more garbage than their other streets, you know what the people in Calcutta say? They say, oh, man, we're starting to look like Seattle. So anyway, let me get back to his tweet. I digress. I digress because when I am in the presence of greatness, heroism, I get a little emotional. Okay, let me get back to his tweet. I was in the Chinatown International District with my family this morning and saw a lot of garbage and litter around the bus stop at the corner of 12th and Jackson. Let me digress again. So what did he do? Did he pull out some rubber gloves and he and his wife and their daughter, did they start picking up all the trash, cleaning up the street, being an example for selfless service? Well, let me get back to his tweet. I was in the Chinatown International District with my family this morning and saw a lot of garbage and litter around the bus stop at the corner of 12th and Jackson. So I asked King County Metro maintenance crews to get on it right away. And then Dow Constantine sent out a picture of all the trash, a second picture of a King County maintenance crew with their yellow jackets on, pressure washing the sidewalk, and then a third picture of it looking spotless. And then he followed up with more tweets. They have a huge county to cover, but I asked them to jump into action quickly, knowing this area is one of our highest use stops. When I circled back 2 hours later, Metro was already on the scene, picking up litter and steam cleaning the sidewalks. Wow! Wow! Dow Constantine! He saw litter, he saw garbage, And he called some people to clean it up. Wow. Now, the fact that a lot of downtown business owners took pictures of all the trash outside of their business and attached it in their responses to Dow, the fact that all of those business owners are saying, hey, would your family go for a walk in my neighborhood so you can clean this up too? You are not seeing the big picture here. Dow made a phone call. Look, every journey begins with but a single step. And I know a lot of people have been hammering him because the rest of his county is an open dump with record shootings and gun murders. But he called somebody and they came. Oh, there is one other problem. The place where the crew came out and cleaned up that night, about 8 hours later, it was even worse than it was before Dow and his family walked through. There was even more garbage.
One tweet from County Executive Dow Constantine and 381 rapid-fire comments, most of them backlash.
Yeah, this is Michelle Esteban up at ComoNews.com.
He tweeted, while with his family, he saw a lot of garbage and litter at the corner of 12th and Jackson around the bus stop and asked King County Metro crews to get on it right away. 2 hours later, he tweeted it was cleaned and thanked Metro and his city team.
Yeah, okay, that's all we should stop right there. Dow called some of his minions, and they cleaned it. What more do you want from the man? Crying out loud. But no, the media's always got to tear down our heroes.
The backlash, in part, accused the executive of being out of touch. One reads, all he had to do was make one phone call when his family felt uncomfortable. Another called him tone deaf. Another tweet said, he thinks this is a win. We wanted to hear Constantine's response and ask about how the county prioritizes cleanups. A staff member said he wasn't available today.
Well, of course he wasn't available. Heroes are strong and silent.
Other tweets asked, what about the rest of the city? Do the hard work, fix it for good. We went back to that very corner, and the garbage and more is back. We could see drug-related activity.
Okay, so yes, it's worse than it was before Dow called people. But again, why does the mainstream media ignore the fact that the man called people to do some work for him? So anyway, because I want to prove what I tell you all the time, that I am indeed obsessed with fairness. And so while I do criticize Dow Constantine on an occasional basis, I also want to make sure that you know that the man is a hero. Nicole, do you think that was... on the list of greatest acts of selflessness that you have encountered in your lifetime, was Dow number one or number one with a star next to it?
Yeah, it's up there.
Oh.
Pretty heroic.
You sound like you're being sarcastic.
Never.
I find that a little upsetting.
How I speak.
Do you understand he called somebody?
I'm with business owners. I hope he takes a walk around the city.
Yeah. Hey, Republic Service didn't pick up my trash for 3 weeks, Dow. They're supposed to be coming tomorrow morning. Not only my trash, but my recycle and my yard waste and my food waste. Dow, hey, go for a stroll outside of my house, would you please? And then call somebody to come pick up all my garbage before Republic Services has to tomorrow morning. Come on, Dow. Walk, walk, walk. You know, Dow can be like Forrest Gump when he walked across America. Only Dow only has to walk across King County with a cell phone in hand, calling people to clean up the messes that he sees. That will be something else.
Maybe he should just hang out there, and the people that he sees litter, he could tell them to pick that back up.
Well, that'd be too scary.
He could talk to those. Yeah, well.
He might be a hero. He might be a hero, but he doesn't want to. He don't want to be around drug addicts. He likes being around staffers and going to the bars at night. He likes that stuff. But he doesn't want to be with the riffraff. He likes being around people who drink alcohol, not the people who shoot up heroin. Heroes aren't down with heroin. They like their drinky drinks. Okay, another story, and I'll give credit to KUOW that had this story. There are several women who claim they were sex trafficked by Raz Simone, and they are now suing him. Now, if the name Raz Simone kind of rings a bell, do you remember when we had Chaz and Chop a couple of years ago, and there was somebody who was declared the Chaz Chop warlord, who was seen on camera, on video, passing out guns to people out of the back of a car trunk? Yeah, that's Raz Simone, the Chaz Chop warlord. The women in this story, it is really awful, and I'll get to their story in just a moment. But I also want to point out the insanity of our politicians. Because when Chaz Chop took over Seattle Police East Precinct and held it for hostage, when Jenny Durkin finally took the precinct back, it was a ransom situation. And she said, well, if you give us back our police precinct, I will funnel $10 million to black community groups. And one of the black community groups that Jenny Durkin paid ransom to in order to get back the East Precinct was called Black Umbrella, an organization run by Chaz warlord Raz Simone. The city gave Raz Simone, and the taxpayers, in other words, gave Raz Simone $83,000 to build a recording studio. But women are now suing Raz Simone, saying that he sex trafficked and abused them. One woman named Pearl, she says that he made her go to strip clubs and work. He demanded $1,000 a day from her. Said that it was like a cult. He would hold her captive for 3 days in a confined space, a sleeping pod. He more than once forcibly had sex with her and strangled her. He made her go to Las Vegas where she danced at a gentleman's club. What are they called? Gentleman's club? I don't think there are too many gentlemen there. She had to dance at the Palomino Club. And after she and several women have said, yeah, he abused us, he sex trafficked us, and they are now suing the Chaz Chop warlord. And I tell you this story just to remind you that taxpayers gave this guy $83,000 to build a recording studio even after he was seen passing out the kinds of guns that Jenny Durkin and Bruce Harrell and Dow Constein and Jay Inslee, they say they want to ban, but when it was a militant handing them out to random people at Chaz Chop, they were fine with it because they can't say anything bad about somebody like Raz Simone. And so 83,000 tax dollars went to build a recording studio for this guy, and he is now facing a lawsuit from women who say that he sexually abused them, acted as a pimp and made them dance as a de facto pimp, forcing them to dance in nightclubs. That's the allegation in their court filing. It is a horrific story, and it's another example of how our politicians here locally have done not just stupid things, but some of the most immoral, godly things, all in the name of diversity. You know, you give a pimp, a former pimp, and now a current pimp. He says he's back to pimping. You give Andre Taylor $150,000 to be the street czar. You give Raz Simone $83,000 for a recording studio. And both of these guys are accused and admitted, in the case of this pimp, Andre Taylor, I'm sorry, the street czar, who says he's a pimp. We give him tax dollars for diversity reasons. It's insane. It is absolute, pure insanity. All right, one other thing. It's some audio that you need to hear. This is a woman, a news reporter. It's a pretty small station in West Virginia. And you can tell it's a small station because this woman is her own photographer. And that's what happens in small markets. You don't have a separate reporter and videographer. The reporter has to tote the tripod and camera. They set it up. They start feeding the signal, and then they go around to the other side of the camera, and they do their reporter live shot. Well, this woman, she's very young. She looks like she might be early 20s. She's doing a live shot when all of a sudden a car hit her live on the air.
We're starting to experience, unfortunately, in freeze-thaw, we see this, water main breaks.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's first for you on TV, Jory.
Woo! We're all good.
Who's this guy in the studio, the anchor? Huh, that's the first for. She got hit by a car.
He can't.
It looks like it was the side view mirror. That what? What, Nicole?
He can only hear her. He can't see her. So
why can't he see her? She's on camera.
I don't know. I mean, he says he's looking forward at the camera. He's not looking at a monitor with her on it.
But he goes bug-eyed. He's kind of bug-eyed anyway, this news anchor.
Well, the sound is, you know what
right,
happened.
Right, but then, oh, that's a first for you. She just got hit by a car. Listen to what he says. This is insane.
I just got hit by a car, but I'm okay, Tim.
That's first for you on TV, Jory.
Woo! Well, it's the first for you on TV. You just got hit by a car, huh?
We're all good. I'm okay. Yeah, you know, that's live TV for you. It's all good. I actually got hit by a car in college, too, just like that.
Wow.
I am so glad I'm okay.
Yeah.
You're okay. You're okay. We're all good. This is, you know what? It's, one
sure
woman
you're
band.
Okay, Tori?
We're good, Tim. Ma'am,
you, sure you're
you
okay?
are so sweet, and you are okay.
I am so
sorry. It is all good.
That's the woman who hit her. She got out of the car. I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
You know, oh, Lord.
So you...
You know, it's my last week on the job, and I think this would happen.
So you were
specifically
bumped in,
to me, Tim.
Were you bumped down low, Tori, or were you hit up high? I couldn't really tell from looking.
Oh, I don't even... Do you know if I was bumped down low or up high, sir?
I just saw you disappear.
I don't even
out of
know. I don't even know, Tim. My whole life just flashed before my eyes.
Oh, man. Well, that's a first for you on live TV, Tori.
Okay, she's adorable.
No, she is. He's adorkable. All right, and all of that is your Fastest 15.
This has been the Fastest 15 Minutes in the News. Fast, Dory's Fastest 15.
Well, he usually joins us on Wednesdays, but we had Joe Biden's disastrous press conference live 24 hours ago, so Brock Huard is going to jump on with us live, coming up right after we check the news, here on the Dory Monson Show. So, yesterday morning, imagine my shock when I got a phone call from President Joe Biden, and he said, look, here's the deal. I'm sick of you and Brock Huard talking together every Wednesday, so I'm going to have a press conference this afternoon. And I said, where's my oatmeal? And they kind of just trailed off. But you might be able to postpone Brock Huard, but you cannot cancel him.
Nope.
He joins us live on a rare Thursday afternoon visit.
We shall not be
IRG
canceled.
Physical and Hand Therapy.
We shall.
He talked over my sponsor.
We shall not be canceled. Brought to you by IRG Hand Therapy.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
So, good. I have a serious topic where I want to tap into some of your personal knowledge. So an hour ago, Brock, I talked with a guy who was the girls' basketball coach at Issaquah High School, a guy named Doug Crandall. A lot of parents had reached out to me. He'd been there for 3 years. This is his third season, off to a 3-0 start. And then the school dumps him. And nobody knows why. I got a statement from the school district. They said, let me pull that up. They just sent it to us. Coach Crandall's on paid administrative leave pending an ongoing internal employment investigation. The leave is non-disciplinary in nature, which is a bunch of garbage because anytime you take a coach away from his team, it's disciplinary.
Correct.
And I'm going to talk to a couple of the girls the next hour, but every one of the players went to a school board meeting, spoke on his behalf. everyone in the families is united that they love this guy. And so if the kids and the families love him, I'm trying to figure out what's going on. You know this guy personally, I found out.
I do know Doug. My oldest daughter, Haley, is friends with his son, Timmy, who is a basketball player. He was a great player at Issaquah, as was the older brother, who was a walk-on at the UW. So through the basketball community and, you know, just growing up and watching, you know, youth basketball and seeing him in gyms and watching his son as I'm watching my daughter. And then, as it turns out, Dory, and I listened to that interview an hour ago that you had with him, and he mentioned in March that his son, Timmy, lost a friend. And you and I talked about that. And I talked about Cade Gebbers from Brewster, Washington, who was a friend and more, and a family that we love. And Cade actually played on the same AAU travel club, high-level travel club team with Coach Crandall's son. And when Cade would come over from Eastern Washington to practice with Friends of Hoop there at Bellevue College, he stayed with that family. And so there are a bunch of connection points to this story, so much so that my wife was moved the other day, Molly, and she put everything on Facebook and on Twitter and is just outraged. Outraged that there's not an answer. Outraged that they're hiding. Outraged that if you've got an issue and you've got a problem with either his ideology, whether him standing up for these kids, whether him standing up against radical policy that is proven now 2 years later, as you and I have talked about for month after month, year after year, to be broken and frankly wrong when it came to how you handled the youth and youth sports and high school sports and everything else over the last couple of years. You got a problem with that, come out front. Just don't hide. And this one touches a nerve because it hit in the same place for the Crandall family as it hit with us last March.
Yeah, and you know, he made it clear to me. You know, he and I talked off air about Cade Gebbers, the young man who took his life, and what a wonderful family this was, what a wonderful kid it was before he, had the turmoil of just being separated from everything he loved because of some of those rules and restrictions that have been put in place so arbitrarily and so wrongheadedly. And he said, just deepened his resolve to, let the kids know that he loves them. He loves them like his own kids, which is what we're supposed to do. I mean, I know that Cade's family started this campaign. Was it just 3 seconds? Is that what it was called? I want to make sure I don't get the name wrong.
Only 7 seconds.
Only 7 seconds. Just saying, just take a...
You, it would be 3, Dory.
Yeah, I'm very brief. If you know somebody who might be having trouble, just reach out to them. Let them know you love them. Let them know you care about them. And so there are a lot of people who are taking that to heart. And when every kid and every parent says there's a great coach, and when they're successful, and then the school district takes it away. And, like I said to him, I know a little bit about how school boards are trying to just remove anybody who doesn't think exactly the way that they are now mandating, which is as blatant a First Amendment violation as you can possibly have. So I'm pretty fired
up
about this.
Yeah, it's hard to absorb. Today I was actually at my son's school, Titus, and got a chance to share at their chapel. And it just struck me. It was the first time in some years, Dory, that I've been able to get into schools to encourage kids. And I just, I didn't get too teary-eyed. I don't think I got teary-eyed at all, but I was close. As I was standing in front of them and looking at them all gathered together in this gym, thinking this is the way it should be. And as it turns out, in which we knew that this was not a virus that was harmful and impactful and destructive to that youth and to that age group. And kudos to Coach Crandall back in March, for taking that stand as others did. And unfortunately, the cancel culture then, and anybody that came out against those policies for these schools and school boards and everything else were chastised, were belittled, and in some places canceled. So Issaquah School Board, come out with your problem. Come out with your issue. Do not hide. Do not suspend him. For how long did he say now? 44 days since they took his school keys? If you've got an issue, come out with that issue. I think he and those parents and those kids and that community that he has been a part of, entrenched for generations, I think that's the least you can do. And if you can't come forward with that, then that is, just further cowardly and shameful.
Well, in case people don't know exactly what we're referencing, let me just, if you weren't listening last hour, here's a little bit of what this guy said to the school board last spring when they were suspending the football team season.
We have starved our kids from sports, from drama, from school. Our country's done it. Our state's done it. And we're doing it as a district. And then we threw them scraps. And now we've taken those scraps out of their mouth. And there's no excuse for it. You guys talked about core values, and I appreciated that a couple meetings ago. There's only one core value any of us involved in kids' lives right now should care about, and that's selfless service of kids. It's the only thing that matters.
Selfless service. Yeah. Some you and I have talked about a lot on and off the air.
Yes.
And that, of course, has some biblical roots as well, that whole concept of selfless service. And
sure does.
So I don't know if it's faith. I don't know if it's being anti-restrictions. He's not anti. I mean, he abided by all the COVID regulations as a coach. Mm-hmm. Or maybe there's something we don't know about. I mean, I always have to leave the door open for that. Yeah. But if so, I echo what you say, that the school district owes all these kids and families some information.
Yes, come forward with it. And, you know, he's not one to brag. He was a West Point graduate. He's a tremendous guy. He has supported so many in the military. Just an awesome family, you know, just an awesome beacon in that community. What you need, what you want in these communities, to go and have a wife that teaches kindergarten, to go and substitute teach, right, to fill in the gap, to go and coach when you make nothing but to impact lives and to serve others. That is what our communities need. And if you want to snuff it out, then you better have an answer as to why, because that is what those players have communicated. Their families have communicated. Others have communicated. The community is communicating. I think you at least owe that to someone that's willing to serve within your community.
Yeah. And here's what I know for certain, just to wrap things up, that, and I don't know how this is all going to be resolved. And I don't know what information is going to come out in Issaquah. But what I know is there are school administrators everywhere, whether it be Issaquah or Shoreline or wherever, where their political ideology is far more important than the best interests of the kids. And when that becomes as pervasive as it's become, I did a huge story about Seattle schools yesterday and how they destroyed kids' test scores in the name of an equity director who's a horrible, racist, violent bully. When that becomes more important than the best interests of the kids, Brock, then we have lost our way.
See, only 3 seconds. It only took you 3 seconds.
Thanks coming on. Appreciate it. Joe Biden cannot cancel Brock Heward.
No,
no matter how hard he might try. Okay, see you, bud.
Thank you.
It's Brock Heward. We got lots more straight ahead. I'm not going to forget today. As the Dory Monson Show.
It will roll on. Roll on.
I wish stories like this would get more attention from the national news networks, who ignore stories that everybody really should know about and care about. The TSA has just announced, as you know, Joe Biden and his administration, in the last month, they've let nearly 200,000 illegal aliens come into this country. There have been border encounters with 200,000, over a million since Joe Biden became president have come illegally into this country. So what do you do if once you're in the United States, you want to get on an airplane? Well, I know what you and I have to do. We have to go to the airport, stand the TSA line, have our baggage x-rayed, and we have to present not just a driver's license, but my wife and I, and you've probably done it too. You know, they said, well, we're not going to accept driver's licenses because in Washington, you know, regular driver's licenses, because in Washington, they give driver's licenses to illegal aliens. And so the feds said, well, we're not going to accept the Washington driver's license anymore. You have to get an enhanced driver's license. And that's where, when I got my license renewed and got enhanced, so the airport would accept it, I had to bring some proof of my citizenship. I brought in my birth certificate and I think a social security card. I don't remember what kind of ID I had to bring when I got my enhanced driver's license. But that's what you and I have to do because our state has given driver's licenses to illegal aliens. Well, it's a new day now that Joe Biden and this radical leftist agenda is in place in America. So as Joe Biden allows all of these illegal aliens to come into the United States, and the illegal aliens, they don't all want to stay in Texas and New Mexico and Arizona and California, but some of them want to fly around the country. So how do you do that? How do you fly? When you and I have to prove our citizenship to get an enhanced driver's license, how does an illegal alien get through TSA? Well, under the Biden administration, TSA has just announced that they will accept alternate forms of identification from illegal aliens. Among the identification that will now be accepted by TSA, an arrest warrant. If you are going through TSA as an illegal alien and you have in a arrest warrant, Elmer Fudd all of a sudden, if you have an arrest warrant, or if you have a warrant of removal and deportation, TSA will now accept that as a valid form of ID. I know it sounds, you must be thinking, Monson, you have to be making this up. That yes, we've gone crazy. Yes, the radical left is insane. But you cannot be telling the truth about this one. That they would actually, an arrest warrant means a certainly a possibility, probably a likelihood of somebody who has committed a crime. And we're going to let them on the plane. They're in the country illegally. They have committed a crime. And we're going to let that person on the plane. I know you're thinking this has to be impossible. Here is Congressman Lance Gooden of Texas confirming what the TSA revealed to him when he asked this question.
That's right. It's totally crazy. They actually put that in writing to my office this week, the TSA did, because we asked them, we'd heard these stories about illegals with no ID walking through airport security, boarding flights, potential severe criminals flying with the American public. And TSA confirmed that all they need is an arrest warrant to get past security.
I'm serious. This is like the Babylon Bee headlines. I mean, that's something you would see on a satirical site like Babylon Bee. Biden says an arrest warrant is valid airport ID now for illegal aliens. No, it's not parody. It is now the truth when we put radicals in charge of things. And then you have Jay Inslee. Did you hear that Jay Inslee? There's an infestation in Washington of green crabs. And apparently the green crabs are pretty insidious and they destroy native species and they've come from other parts of the world. But we got tens of thousands of them up around Salish Bay. And I'm shocked. Jay Inslee says we got to get rid of the green crabs. Why don't you make us a sanctuary state for the green crabs? Do, Mr. Governor. But you were welcoming and inclusive. Wait. Welcoming and inclusive. Okay, we're going to check the news for you here at the top of the hour. And then the big lead at 2. I'm going to talk to a couple of those Zunsquat basketball girls, too, coming up next.